We're going to turn to Ephesians 6, verse 1. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. You guys can sit down. Lord, I just pray that you bless this sermon with fruit. I pray that the children, all of the children, struggle with submitting to authority. It's part of our sin nature. And also, it's not easy sometimes when they're dealing with sinful parents that are not perfect. I pray that you give them a heart of submission, a heart of obedience and respect and honor for their parents, as unto you, not just because that's what our culture says, but because it's obedience to you and because you put the parents that they have in their life. And I pray that we would be worthy of that respect as much as we can be, and that we would strive to be worthy of honor. And I pray this earnestly in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are down a side chute from Genesis 3. What happened in Genesis 3 is I went into the curse, and that we've gone up to Genesis 3 with the fact that God created all things good. And even today, there is a goodness about the creation that while it's marred by the fall, we see it all the time. We still see, for example, what we're going to talk about today between the relationship of parents and children. We see the beauty of how that's designed to be, even despite the fall. But we also see the reality of the fall. There was a fall. Adam fell. The temptation to be as God, to determine good and evil on his own apart from God, to only basically say amen to God if it made sense to him. And to basically be on the same plane as God. And so that that fallen nature is now part of who we are as human beings, and it's affected the world. There's now a curse, there's punishment, there's consequences for the fall and what Adam did in the garden. And all of us now have the sin nature, this rebellious tendency against God. And by implication, we're going to see that it doesn't stop with God, that we have a tendency to disrespect and dishonor the authority that God has put in our life for our good. And so what we're dealing with today, what I've been preaching on prior to this, is parenting in a fallen world. So mostly I've been directing it towards parents, although I've helped, I think, you kids to see that it applies to you as well. The first sermon was on the heart of God. And when I was studying for this, I was reading the book Gentle and Lowly, and it's such a good book. It goes through scriptures that we just tend to overlook. We tend to, when we go through the Bible, just see all of God's wrath and his judgment, and just almost think like he's this bad, you know, tough guy up in the sky, ready, waiting, and willing to jump on us and to correct us and wanting to punish us. But what we saw as I preached on the heart of God as a father is that the heart of God is good towards us. God delights in showing mercy. God delights when we do his will. God delights in being gracious to us. God delights in accepting our repentance. He delights in that. He does not, and he makes it very clear in the prophets, that he does not delight in the death of a sinner. He does not delight in the waywardness when we fall short. He does not delight when he has to punish us. And so that should be our heart as parents, is we look to the goodness of God in his heart. And that is so important in our parenting, that we have that goodness of heart towards our children. That even when we discipline our children, we don't do it out of personal rage and wrath and venting and retribution, but we do it out of a good heart. And we're not going to be perfect in that, and you kids need to know that, that sometimes we're going to fall short. Sometimes you're going to push every button we have, and you're going to, kind of like if you picture, some of you kids don't understand this, but I was the kind of person when I played a video game, where I would be the person who, in, you know, some fighting game, and there would be like special moves you could unlock. I never knew what they were, so I would just hit all the buttons rapidly in succession and hope that I hit some super, you know, combination of things. Sometimes you guys hit enough buttons that you unlock that special mama level or that special dad level, and we fall short. And we need to, when we fall short, and we really fall short, we need to come back to you guys and say, hey, you shouldn't have acted that way. And we do need to be restrained as parents. So, but with that said, the heart of God is our example, and it's a good heart. God is patient with us. He doesn't break the bruised reed, the smoking flax. He doesn't quench. And so that's our heart. Our heart is good towards our children. And then the second sermon I preached on parenting was on the heart and understanding what the heart is in Scripture. The heart is really the core. It's not the beating heart. It's the core of us, of who we are. It's our will. It's our emotions. It's our everything. And basically what we talked about is that what we put in and what we let come out will dictate and determine our heart. And we have full responsibility and care. And when we parent, we need to parent in terms of the heart, not just the surface level. The Bible divides man into the face of man, that outward part of man, and the heart of man. And so when we parent, we need to make sure that we get beyond just the externals, just the dealing with things as they come out of the heart, but also go deeper down into the heart. And you children need to know your own heart. You need to be working on your heart issues and allow us to help you with that. Because you'll find if you don't work on heart issues, that you guys will be frustrated with yourselves, because you're going to find that bad stuff just keeps on coming out and out and out and out and out. Get to the heart. We have to work on the heart. You have to work on the heart. We have to help you work on the heart. We have to be thinking about parenting from the heart. So that's what we've gone over so far. And what I was going to preach on today was discipleship and discipline. But in order to do that, I went to Ephesians 6, 1 through 5. And I saw in here Paul is outlining, he talks to before this in the previous chapter. Keep in mind our chapter breaks are a little bit arbitrary. He talks to husbands and wives in that relationship. And now he talks to children and parents. And then after this, he talks to servants and their masters. So Paul is laying out these relationships. The general premise is that we submit to one another. And then there's specifics of what that looks like. So when I hit this passage, I realized that I needed to preach to the children first before going to the parents, that they raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'm happy to do that. I think it's really good. And I think a lot of time, I haven't spent a lot of time preaching to you children. So I want you kids to know I am preaching to you. I'm also preaching to you adults, but I'm preaching to you kids today. So I want, please take what I say to heart. Not just my words, but this is what I'm trying to do, is trying to put the spotlight, the magnifying glass, the telescope on the Word of God. So don't think, oh, this is like you hit my children here. Oh, this is just my dad hitting on some pet issues of his. No, this is the Word of God speaking to the relationship of parents and children. And the fall again has affected that relationship, because now on both sides of the equation, both sides, children and parents, you have fallen, rebellious sinners. You have selfish people. You have selfish parents, and you have selfish children. So that what should have been a very, and we see glimpses of this, but what should have been this beautiful, perfect relationship pre-fall, had Adam and Eve not fallen to the temptation and with their children, is now very, very wonderful, but it's also very, very difficult. So the relationship of parents to children, it's a rough road in this fallen world, and I want to talk about that. And it has to do with the sin on the part of children and parents. A lot of our problems in a fallen world, so for example, in marriage, is if we don't realize I live in a fallen world, there's going to be setbacks. The other person's going to be a stinker. The other person's going to be a sinner. The other person's going to do things that I don't like. The other person is going to do things that are harmful to themselves and to me. They're going to fall short. They're going to let me down. And our expectations going into marriage, for example, are this blissful, perfect walk, you know, walking in a field of lilies. Everything's going to be great. We can set our sights on greatness. But if we don't live with the expectation, I live today and tomorrow and will live next week, next month, next year in a fallen world where there's going to be setbacks from all sides, there's going to be sweat, there's going to be tears, there's going to be work, and people are going to fail me and let me down. That is the reality. You will never be in a perfect family, a perfect marriage, a perfect group of people, a perfect church. People are stinkers. People are because of the fall, in many ways, I think I can be as strong as saying we're a bunch of morons so often. And I hope you catch yourself at that, because you should. I catch myself being a moron a lot of times because of the fall. So what I want to do is set the expectation for both children and parents. And now, parents, I'm sure you're aware of this. And children, I'm sure you are too. Children, your parents are fallen. They're not always going to do the right thing. Parents, your children are fallen, and they are repeatedly going to try you. And the progress that you gain in parenting is going to be a long, hard road. And you're probably well aware of that. But that does not mean there cannot be progress. Don't equate that with, oh, well, this is a tough road, so no, I can't reach any destinations. No, there will be. If you sow good seeds, if you sow good things, if you work by God's grace, there will be an increase, and you will see there will be breakthroughs, and the work will pay off. It will be a blessing to you. So what I want to cover today is go through this text, and then we're going to answer the question to you children. We're going to cover, why honor my parents? Why should I honor my parents? We're going to also talk about how important this command is. And there are cases when you should not obey your parents. And we're going to talk about those. So let's dig in. I'm digging right in the text. You guys can follow me if your Bibles are open to Ephesians 6, verse 1. I'm going to go verse by verse, so just try to follow if you can. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And like any passage of Scripture, any verse of Scripture, when you start digging down and you start looking at it, and you start looking at resources on it, you start to see there's more than you first thought. It's like that beautiful gemstone. The longer you look at it, the more beautiful it becomes, the more things you notice. So, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, the first of all, when it's speaking to children, it's specifically in context speaking of the relationship of children under the household or the authority of parents. The relationship shifts significantly when I believe in a leave and cleave model of marriage, that we prepare children even towards the end of their life in our home. We want them to be equipped. I don't want to be domineering over my children when they're 18 years old, 17 years old, 16 years old. The goal is really, guys, that it would become less and less of a disciplinarian, I have to discipline you for things relationship, and more of a friendship as the children get older. So that leads up to the fact that when a husband and wife come together, they create a new family, a new unit, and that husband is now accountable for the Lord for the decisions he makes. He should still seek input. He should still be open to input. But he is ultimately responsible, and there's a new family unit. So specifically, I'll touch on the honor still due to parents, because there is honor due to parents to those that have started a new family. Christ makes it clear that if our parents are in need, he rebuked the Jews that they had excused themselves of providing for their aged parents. There's responsibility to take care of our parents if they have that need as they get older, as best we can. We should show them honor and respect and reverence. The way we talk about them should be respectful. We should not be quick to despise their input. We should be willing to listen and to consider, even though we're ultimately responsible before God. So largely what I'm going to be talking about, though, is to you children under your parents' instruction in the house, still in that relationship. Obey your parents in the Lord. Now, what's interesting is in the previous chapter, at the end of chapter 5, it's speaking of husbands and wives. It says, tells wives to honor their husband. Now here it says to obey parents. Paul could have actually said, wives, obey your husbands. But he actually used a different word when it came to the wives. He used the word honor. And right there, I'm not going to get into all the differences there. But right there, we see a little bit of an indication that the relationship between husband and wife is not the same. So we have to be careful. And in some Christian circles, we talk about wives as if they're another child. They are not another child. Wives are in a different relationship, and Paul self-consciously uses a different word to represent that relationship. And the way they interact with the husband versus children to parents. Children are to obey. John Calvin says, and I'll be using some quotes here, they're, I think, really good quotes, but I just couldn't find a way around it. They're really good. He said, "Children, obey. Why does the apostle use the word obey instead of honor, which has a greater extent of meaning? It is now keep in mind that the actual command says honor your father and mother. So why does Paul here say obey? It is because obedience is the evidence of that honor which children owe to their parents and is therefore more earnestly enforced. So for example, if I say, oh, I honor you, God, but I don't believe I should obey God, that's a hollow. There's nothing there. So if we talk about if children are like, oh, I honor my parents, but there's no obedience, you're not honoring your parents. You honor your parents. One of the primary ways that you honor your parents is through obedience. That's, you could do everything else. You could give them flowers on certain days, and you could be nice to your mom by cleaning your room and whatever. But if you don't obey, you're not honoring your parents, no matter what else you're doing. So the Apostle Paul uses the word obey very specifically to bring it down to the brass tacks of what it looks like in that relationship. Honor without obedience is not honor. Charles Hodge says, "Children, obey your parents. The nature or character of this obedience is expressed by the words, 'in the Lord.'" Notice that it said, "in the Lord." "It should be religious, arising out of the conviction that such obedience is the will of the Lord. This makes it a higher service than if rendered from fear or from mere natural affection. It secures its being prompt, cordial, and universal." So what he's saying is that when Paul says here, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord," that he's saying, don't just obey because you want to, because, oh, I feel like it. Don't just obey because it's what people tell you to do. Don't just obey because your parents tell you. Do it in the Lord. Do it out of a higher obedience and love of God. It's a religious obedience. And it should be prompt, cordial, and universal. Those are important. Prompt, quickly, cordial. You could obey quickly, but then you're not cordial. That means you're fine. And universal. So obey your parents. Verse 2, "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise." What is honor? So what does this word honor mean? Kittle, the Greek theological dictionary that I have, says honor is esteem, the Greek word here, timē, esteem, dignity, and recognition. So we esteem them, we acknowledge that there's some dignity there, and we recognize who they are under God. Now all doxa, timē, and dunamis, that is glory, honor, and power, Revelation 4:11, is said to be due to God. But God has bestowed, he's given to a lesser extent, this honor to be given to parents. So all honor is ultimately to be given to God, but because God has put parents in this position, they are to be honored. Henry Bollinger says about the word honor, it means to magnify, to worship, to esteem well, and to reverence us as a thing ordained by God. So this isn't just a human invention. We didn't come up with this. And also to acknowledge, love, and give praise as for benefit received at God's hand. So not just, okay, I got to honor my parents because that's what honor means. No, in the word honor means that we love and give praise, that they are a benefit. You kids need to know that your parents are a benefit given to you by God. Their benefit given at God's hand. Receive it that way out of like love. And wow, great. Praise God. God has given me parents. Yeah, some fallen world, they fall short, but he's given me parents. And as a thing given from heaven that is both holy, profitable, and necessary. You need parents. I can guarantee you guys would not do well if you didn't have parents. It would not work out well. As messed up as you may think your parents are, you need them. Holy, because God has said, honor your father and mother. He has put them in your life. Profitable. You will actually profit by your parents. to be dutiful and to obey as it were to God himself, by whom we know that our obedience is commanded, and to whom we are sure that our service is acceptable. So, again, obey God by obeying your parents. It is a rich word. The word honor is a rich word. It's multifaceted. John Calvin says it is reverence, obedience, and gratitude. So reverence. We revere them. We hold them up. My parents, they're my parents. God has put them in this position. I revere them. I look up to them. We obey them. We do what they say. And we do it with gratitude, thankfulness. John Calvin says, the sum of the commandment, therefore, will be that we are to look up to those whom the Lord has set over us, yielding them honor, gratitude, and obedience. Hence, it follows that everything in the way of contempt, what would contempt look like? You guys are prone to it. Contempt, looking down, like, whatever. Contempt, ingratitude, a lack of, like, oh, my parents, I gotta, a lack of thankfulness. Or disobedience, not obeying. Your parent says, hey, we're going to be leaving soon. I need you to clean out the back of the car. That's disobedience. It is forbidden. For the term honor has this extensive meaning in Scripture. So the word honor, it covers all of those things. Has a sense also of healthy fear. It's good. We should be your friends. And we should. And as a dad, I need to get on the floor with you guys and wrestle and play. And we can just talk and we have good times. But there's also a sense of, and same thing for moms, but there's a sense of reverence and fear. It should not just be like we're another big kid in the family. In many ways it can be because we have great time together, but you should always have this in your mind that God has set your parents over you as an authority in your life, that you are to have a healthy level of fear. And in case you need some help, God has put in our hands the means of disciplining you. There should be some reverence, some fear. It shouldn't just be, I can run all over my mom and dad and do whatever I want. And not just because there's consequences here on this earth, but think about obedience to God. Think about who God is and how important this is before God. It goes on to say, for this is right. Again, not because they say it, not because you feel like it, not because it's what our culture says, for it is right. Paul could not be more clear that this is commanded. This is reinforced by the fact that it is to be unto the Lord, for it is right. It is righteous. It is just. Charles Hodge again says the ground of the obligation to filial, that is a parental obedience, is expressed in the words, for this is right. It is not because of the personal character of the parent. So sometimes there are kids that grew up with parents that might not have great character, might not be the most amazing people to try to follow. You may look down on who they are or be tempted to look down on who they are. But it's not because of that, nor because of his kindness. So sometimes there's some pretty strict parents out there that may lack kindness. They may not be nice as they should be, nor on the ground of expediency, but because it is right. An obligation arising out of the nature of the relationship between parents and children, and which must exist wherever the relationship itself exists. So I don't care if we're talking about an unbelieving parent in Calcutta or Anchorage or whatever, or a believing, or within a believing parent, how good and gracious and grown in the faith they are, but because you are their child, you owe honor. You owe obedience because of who they are, who God has put them to be in your life. Goes on to say this is the first commandment with a promise. Now there's some confusion because the second commandment says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So some people have said, oh, well, it's not the first commandment with a promise. But that's more of a general statement of who God is and how his heart. This is a very specific promise associated with a specific command. Verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, some people get hung up when we see these general promises. We think, well, what about the exceptions? What about the people that die young that obey their parents? And we have to acknowledge that that happens. So I thought some of these thoughts that were shared by some of these fathers in the faith were helpful. John Calvin said, it is an ordinary symbol of the divine favor to the pious. So when you read something like that, see it as an ordinary symbol. It's something that ordinarily takes place. Ordinarily, there is blessing. Of course, you're asking the question, do they always live long? Charles Hodge says, the apostle generalizes it by leaving out the concluding words. Oh, okay. First, let me explain this part. He says that you may live long in the land. The original was the long in the land the Lord God, thy God giveth thee, which was the land of Israel. And this is an example, I won't focus too much on this, of how in the New Testament, those land laws, that promise that was given to Abraham, has now been expanded to the whole world. Because Paul self-consciously leaves off that description that pertained only to the land of Israel, and he now applies what would have just applied to the Jews in that land, now he applies it to believers in Ephesus in a land that's far from Israel. So this idea that somehow God is just limited to the land of Israel, and that's the center of God's plan and purpose for mankind and his redemptive plan, is a bunch of baloney. It doesn't fit in the scripture. That promise has now been extended that was given to Abraham as it was prophesied in the Old Testament through Christ to all the nations, so that all the nations now pour in, and that these promises we shouldn't neglect. Here Paul uses a promise that was once associated with the land of Israel, takes off the land of Israel, and asserts that this is still valid. This is still meaningful. So with that explained, if it be asked whether obedient children are in fact thus distinguished by long life and prosperity, does this really happen? The answer is that this, like all other such promises, is a revelation of a general purpose of God, and makes known what will be the usual course of his providence, his normal dealings. That some obedient children are unfortunate and short-lived is no more inconsistent with this promise than that some diligent men are poor is inconsistent with the declaration, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Generally speaking, if you are diligent, you will be made rich. And people talk about like, oh, it's impossible, this economy or whatever, and so much of that is garbage. If somebody is diligent, they tend to do well. But the fact that some diligent people aren't given prosperity doesn't undermine the promise. Diligence, as a general rule, does secure riches. And obedient children, as a general rule, are prosperous and happy. The general promise is fulfilled to individuals just so far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good. So there's the caveat. Those promises are valid as long as it serves to God's glory and their own good. So those that are martyred, it served to God's glory and their own good. God worked through that. It's not a erasal of this promise. Now there are curses. So there's the promise of long life and blessings, but there's also curses. And I want you guys, you kids, think on these curses. Think of these curses. Realize that if you are disobedient in heart, if you are dishonoring to your parents, if you violate the things that I just laid out, that the Bible commands and that God lays out and commands, you will be under the curse of God. You will experience the curse all your days, and God will fight against you, and the world will fight against you. And I'll quote some scripture here. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Your parents have done much good for you. If you do not show them that recognition, that honor, that respect that is due to them, evil will not depart from your house. You will be cursed in your house. Not just your physical house, but you in your house. Again, he that despitefully taunts his father and despises the old age of his mother shall be confounded and left in reproach. Disrespect to your parents leads to you falling under the curse, being confounded and left in reproach. The son that will not heed the discipline of his father will think of talk of wickedness. Whoever curses his father or mother, listen to this, listen to the curse here. Whoever curses his father or mother, his light shall be put out, and the balls of his eyes shall see nothing but darkness. God hates dishonor, disrespect, and disobedience to parents, and he will curse the unrepentant sinner who who continues in it. This does not mean that you will not fall short. You will. But God will curse you if you persist in it, and he will fight against you. Thomas Watson said, "To deny obedience to parents entails God's judgment upon children. The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, listen to this, the ravens of the valley, picture this, shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." That's a graphic description of the curse that falls upon those that do not obey their parents. Eli's two disobedient sons were slain. God made a law that the rebellious son should be stoned. The same God that inspired the whole of God's word, including the New Testament, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. His promises never fail. And when he laid out this law, it was a true reflection of his heart and how seriously he takes disobedience. In the law, said that the rebellious son should be stoned. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. That is a reflection of the heart of our God, that God hates disobedience. He hates dishonoring your parents. And here, this one, if none of that hit home, Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Thomas Watson, to wrap up this thought, said, disobedient children stand in a place where all God's arrows fly. If you want to stick yourself out for destruction, disobey your parents and harden your heart. Why should you honor parents? And what I hope I'm doing is laying out the moral case, because this is a higher level of obedience and honor than just that which, okay, my parents are forcing me to obey and honor them. No, do it as unto the Lord, because it is right. Why honor parents? So why should you honor your parents? First of all, simple, out of love, obedience, and respect to God. God said. So we love God, should love God, do what he says. Even if you don't understand it at times, you may think, my parents are so, I can't honor my parents. How can I honor my parents? How can I? They're just all washed up. They're all wrong. They get everything. They're just unjust. They just persecute me. Do it because God said. Simple. Obey God. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So whenever we come to a commandment of God and we don't feel like obeying it and we don't want to obey it and it doesn't make sense to us, what should we do? We should obey the command of God. We should have the heart that we see in 1 Samuel 3:10. Speak, for your servant hears. Your word says it, I will grab a hold of it. I will not let a word of yours go to the ground without me grasping a hold of it. The second reason is their love, their care, and their labor for you. Henry Bullinger says, greater are the good turns that parents do for their children. Greater is the cost and labor that they bestow on them, and greater is the care, grief, and trouble which they take for them than any man, however eloquent soever he be, is able to express. Your parents have done just, you don't even understand the beginnings of it. Even before you were born, even before I was born, what a mother goes through to bring a child into the world. The labor, the pain, the agony of bringing a child into the world. And then with that new baby, there's so much love, but there's also so much involved in raising. So many painful, long, sleepless nights. So much selflessness on the part of mom that you kids will never understand what it's like for a mom to pour herself out for that child, to give her life, to give her health. Often, mom's bodies are changed and they live for the rest of their life differently because of bearing children, having children. Years of selflessness that you have never experienced in your life. You've never tasted it. It's greater than can be expressed. So, and your fathers, I'm not trying to downplay the dads as well. even the early church fathers acknowledge that the moms have a little bit heavier lot in a lot of ways, but your dads have done a lot too. Your dads have laid, you don't understand. Sometimes when kids balk at having to do simple chores, and then I think as a father, do they know what it's taken so that they can have a roof over their head? What it takes day after day after day, hour after hour after hour, to provide for their needs and to serve them. And we do it selflessly. We love doing it. Parents love, yes, every so often we'll complain about it, but we love doing it. The joy that mothers have, even in the most miserable situations where they love holding that baby, they love growing with that toddler, but it's just, even as you guys get older, it's so hard to work through some of the issues and those type of things. We love it, but there's a lot to it. Show respect to your parents. Love them because God says to, but also love them because they have poured themselves out for you. Love them because even nature teaches it. Even we see in nature the importance of little bear cubs following the mother sow. The sow. We see how their life would be destroyed if they didn't follow her instruction. How parents in the animal world so often reflect the service that's needed to bring young children to greater life. Even the pagans, it was revealed even naturally to the pagans. Even pagans who didn't know God, who worshipped false gods, they also understood the importance of honor and respect to parents. An ancient Egyptian proverb says, "The son who attends to the words of his father will grow old in consequence." That's coming from somebody outside of the Bible. It says, if you obey listen to the words of your father, you will grow old as a result. Homer, the Greek, he said, "He did not nourish as he should his aged parents dear. Therefore, the gods did from his youth cut off the jolliest years." Talking about that curse that falls on those who dishonor and disrespect their parents. Even the unbeliever sees it. Euripides said to him that while he lives, doth love his parents to obey, whether he live or else to die, God is a friend always. So they understood that God was on the side of those who loved their parents and who respected and honored parents. Another reason, so far we've had, because God said so, because of what they've done for you, because nature teaches it. Another reason is that they gave you life. And Rushdie had a very interesting observation here. He said, to despise one's parents or to hate them and dishonor them is to despise the immediate source of one's own life. It is a form of self-hatred. It is a willful contempt for the basic inheritance of life. So you are basically dishonoring and cursing the source of your life. That God has blessed you with life through these parents, and you are casting dishonor upon them. You should honor them because of their office. Sometimes, this is important to realize, and you will experience this the rest of your life. You should have honor for offices. We have honor for offices. Not because of the person in the office necessarily, but because of the office. Paul even had this in the book of Acts. He was speaking against, he didn't realize, the chief priest. And then they made him aware, and he said, "I did not know, brothers, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people." Paul realized he was out of line with his disrespect because this person held an office. He didn't necessarily respect the person, but he had a respect for the office. And so even if you feel like your parents are all washed up and they're off base and they just make the wrong judgment calls and they're unjust, this, that, and the other thing, have respect to the office. Even if you see all their faults and you see that they're full of warts and just you see them and you think, man, how can I follow? Have respect to the office. God has put them in your life. Henry Bollinger said, "Nor does it matter to us whether those whom the Lord commands us to honor are worthy or unworthy." So you guys get that? It doesn't matter if they're worthy of your respect or unworthy. For however they may be, and generally speaking, they are worthy of your respect, and you're probably having the wrong mindset. But even in the extreme case, where they're not worthy, seemingly, of your respect, for however they may be, notwithstanding, they did not chance to be your parents without the providence of God. Your parents are your parents not because of some luck or chance, but because God put them in your life. His providence put them in your life. In respect to this parentage, the lawgiver himself would have them to be honored. God put them in your life as your parents. He would have them to be honored. John Calvin, knowing how every individual is set over us by his appointment, God has put your parents over, every one of us, our parents over us. We should pay him reverence, gratitude, obedience, and every duty in our power. And it makes no difference whether those on whom the honor is conferred are deserving or not. You may say, I don't think my parents are deserving of my honor. And I would say, and John Calvin would say, and Henry Bullinger would say, and the Apostle Paul would say, honor them anyways. It doesn't matter. God has put them in your life as your parents. And it makes no difference whether those on whom the honor is conferred are deserving or not. Be that they what they may, the Almighty, Almighty, capital A, Almighty, all-powerful, God who is a consuming fire, who created heaven and earth, who holds all things in the palm of his hand and upholds every atom of creation, be that what they may, the Almighty, by conferring their station upon them, by giving them to you as parents, shows that he would have them honored. You don't need to look any further. That is enough. You should know that God would have you to honor them because the Almighty has put them in your life. You should honor your parents because of their wisdom and experience. You will not necessarily appreciate their wisdom and experience. You may think that their wisdom and their experience is foolishness. I remember thinking at one point, I remember just like clear as day, and it seems so real. I think I was probably like 6 years old or something like that. I remember thinking, it is just really wild that I'm 6 years old and I know more than my parents. I remember like, and it seemed so real at that time. And then I remember realizing later on, oh, they knew a lot more than I thought they did. Your parents have wisdom and experience that you don't have. They've got many years over you, and those are crucial years. They have been on the other side of stuff that you have not, and so they need to help you. The Bible emphasizes this and says, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. The word obey actually is hupo. I don't want to mess up the ending. Hupo kueri. It basically is the word under and then listening. So it's basically to be responsive, to be attentive to the parent. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. So the Proverbs, the writer of the Proverbs, who is inspired by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that saves us, and et cetera, et cetera, says, insinuates that your parents have something that you need to learn. They have instruction you need. Your mom, your dad, be attentive, and you will gain insight. There will be insight that you will gain from learning from them. Pick their brain. Think, try to understand what they're saying. Be attentive. Proverbs, my son, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. What your parents teach you, now be careful to, yes, as you understand the word of God, if your parents are teaching, hey, we're the mafia, you know, I'm Al Capone, I'm like Al Capone, and you're going to grow up to inherit all of our secret underground empire built on lying and gambling and stealing and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Compare it with the Word of God, and at a certain point go, yeah, no, this doesn't work. Compare it with Scripture. But, in general, your parents have stuff that you need to tie around your heart. You need to bind it around your heart, tie it around your neck. Let it lead you when you walk. When you lie down, watch over you. Even a broken, unbelieving parent who is off in the gutter will have input that you need and you should not discard. And lastly, for why should you honor your parents? Out of desire for reward and fear of the curse. I've set before you guys from Scripture that there is a reward for those who honor their parents, and there's a curse upon those who do not honor the parents. The Bible doesn't use blessings and cursings, rewards like that. Set them out for nothing. We are motivated by rewards. It's okay to be motivated by rewards. Look at the end of disobedience, of dishonor, and look at the end of obedience and honor. And look at the reward. Look at the curse. Do you want the curse to fall on your head? Do you want to be cursed? Do you want to have God fighting against you? Do you want to stand in the place where God's arrows fly? No. Do you want long life? Do you want a good life? Do you want a life that's blessed by God? Then honor your parents. So that is why we should, why you should honor your parents. There are some reasons that you should honor your parents. The importance of this command. I want to underscore the importance of this command. A son honors his father and a servant his master. God says, if then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts. So God assumes that there is honor towards parents, towards a father. When you mess with this earthly institution of parent and child, and you get it wrong, you're messing up a heavenly concept. God is our Father, we are His children. And so you're messing, kind of like if I mess with marriage, it's not just messing with, why, this is why Christians are so defensive when it comes to marriage, because marriage is not just some earthly institution. It is a picture, it is a sacred picture of heavenly things that God has given us, of Christ and His church. It points to something bigger. Your relationship with your parents is a heavenly, is a picture of something bigger, of the relationship of the Heavenly Father with His children. And God hates when those things are messed with. He hates it. 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. How can you say, I'm going to take that same logic, how can you say, I love my Heavenly Father, that I can't see, when you don't have respect and honor and obedience to your earthly father? How can you say, I honor my Heavenly Father, when you can't even honor your earthly father? It's not possible. It can't happen. You will, if you do not honor your earthly father, you likely will not honor your heavenly father. Tim Keller said it's respect for parents that is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority. You are in training right now with your parents to know what authority looks like. And the rest of your life, you will deal with authority. You will deal with bosses or clients, which can be kind of like bosses. Bosses, clients, in my mind, similar. You will deal with civil authority, and you should be under church authority. And if you cannot live in a fallen world and submit to broken authority in your family, you will be unequipped. It's not going to get easier. Your parents love you. Does the civil government love you? No. Does your boss love you? Does the boss someday love you? Or your client? No. This is the easiest school of learning how to be a person who is under authority. It is good to be under authority. That doesn't mean complete authority in everything they say. It doesn't mean blind authority or submission. But we are to be men under authority. We're called to be under authority. And you'll find yourself carping and butting heads with and getting kicked out by every authority in your life. And you will end up in a tough spot if you cannot learn in the school of being submissive to your parents. How will you submit to employer, civil leader, church elder? How will you submit to other believers, your spouse, in the right way? How will you do those things if you cannot submit to somebody who is a fallen individual but God has put in your life for good? How will you do it? You will not be able to. It will get harder as you go. We are imperfect. I am an imperfect authority to my children. My wife is an imperfect authority to our children. We all are imperfect as fathers and mothers. Please forgive us. Be patient with us. If we're way out of line, please humbly come to us. But obey God. Thomas Watson says, does God command us to honor father and mother? Yes, it's a rhetorical question. Then let children put this great duty in practice. Be living commentaries upon this commandment. Honor. So be living commentaries. Be like, okay, there's this commandment. I'm going to be a living commentary. My life is going to reflect this. Honor and reverence your parents. Not only obey their commands, but submit to their rebukes. You cannot honor your Father in heaven. This is what I just said a little bit earlier. You cannot honor your Father in heaven unless you honor your earthly parents. Again, how can I say, oh, I honor my Heavenly Father if I can't honor the Father who God has put that I can see, I can hug, I can be close to? You can't. We understand that you guys fall short, but it's important you understand these things and you're headed in the right direction. Now, when do we not obey parents? And I could probably keep this pretty simple. Here's Henry Bullinger. We have no reason to obey either our parents or magistrates, like the civil government, if they themselves do or command us to do things that are wicked and unjust. So if your parents say, hey, we need you, we're kind of a little bit down in the dumper here, we need some money, can you go pickpockets? Doesn't happen a whole lot. Probably not going to happen. Has happened in history. You are responsible first to God, and you have a conscience before God. So that is a case where you should say, yeah, Mom, Dad, I understand that you need money. I don't want to be in this position. And I say this humbly, but the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. I can't do that. Sorry. You can resist authority when it comes down to real issues where they are saying something contrary to the Word of God. I'll just quote this one last. John Calvin says, the submission yielded to them should be a step in our ascent to the supreme parent. And hence, if they instigate us to transgress the law, that is, go against the law, so they tell us to go against the law or help us to go against the law, they deserve not to be regarded as parents, but as strangers attempting to seduce us from obedience to our true Father. So our Father is first our Heavenly Father, and second our parents. So if our parents tell us to do something that is contrary to our Heavenly Father, they are not acting as parents. The same holds in the case of rulers, masters, and superiors of every description. And we see examples of this kind of resistance. We see, I'll mention a couple. We see Jonathan was a good son. He tried to be he honored his father, but he disobeyed his father because his father commanded him to do what was evil in persecuting David. So he was right in doing that. Paul says in the book of Acts, we ought to obey God more than men when he was commanded to do evil. And then Jesus goes so far as to say, if any man comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That doesn't mean go hate your family. That means if they say, hey, stop being a Christian, don't follow Christ, that we love God more. In light of that, we effectively, compared to that, hate our family member. If your parents are commanding you to do something wrong, are doing something that's evil, are causing you to do something evil, that are doing something evil to your children, I would say this: I think you know in your conscience, and if you're listening to sermons and listening to the Word of God, you'll know when that happens. But if you're troubled in your conscience by something your parents are doing, then it's good and it's okay for you to go to other grown-up believers and to ask for help. I'll end with the gospel. In some ways, the fact that we fall short as parents points to Christ, to God, who's the perfect Father. And so, as much as we don't want to fall short, when you see that, that also points you to God, who's perfect. As described in James 1:7, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So when you see that your parents say one thing one day and then they go back on it, or you know, there's been points where I've come down heavily, like, this is going to happen, and then I realize that I was wrong, and I change, or maybe I don't realize I was wrong, and I punish you. Let's work through that stuff in the real world. I don't want us as parents, that's not our heart, but let it lift your mind to heavenly things and realize that that points you to the perfect fatherhood of God, that God is a perfect Father, And that's the beauty, is we're trying to turn you to Him who is a perfect Father. That's our goal in life. We don't want to nanny you and babysit you the rest of your lives. We want your heart, you to be in that relationship with your Heavenly Father that will guide you through the rest of your life. We die, you still are guided by the Heavenly Father. And He is perfect. He never changes. There's nothing wrong in how He handles situations. He's all wisdom, all knowledge. And so worship Him, turn to Him. And then if somebody is not a believer in Jesus Christ, has not accepted the free gift, it says, look unto me, all the ends of the earth. It's simple, but it takes humility to turn to Christ, repent of our sins, and come to saving faith. If you haven't done that, and you're not following Christ, you are not children of God. Don't pretend that you are. But here's the good news, Galatians 3:26. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. So Christ, the free gift of salvation offered through Christ, is what makes us the sons and daughters of God. It's a free gift. We want to complicate it. We want to add 15 steps and this and that and the other thing. But that passage I read earlier, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. What's quicker and faster and more simple than turning to Christ to turn our vision and to accept what He has done? And so that is how we become the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you give us, as all of us, greater honor and obedience and respect to our Heavenly Father. When He speaks, help us to obey. Help us to have a healthy level of both love and fear. When I say healthy level, not like a limited amount, but both love and fear. Help us to reverence, to have gratitude, to worship, to esteem our Heavenly Father. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. And we worship you. We seek to obey you. We want to honor you. Draw our hearts to you. And even when we don't understand your commands, and even when they seem contrary and contradictory, and when they seem to be backward, and they just rub us the wrong way, I pray that we make sure we understand your command, but we'd obey. Quickly, cordially, out of gratitude. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.